This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Amid continuing controversy from the 9/11 Commission report and last week's terror alerts on the East Coast, President Bush today nominated a congressman and former CIA agent to be the new director of Central Intelligence. In a few minutes, we'll find out a bit more about Porter Goss, the long-serving chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Later in the program, the latest twist in the investigation of a White House leak. Federal investigators are asking reporters to name their sources. So far, one of them has been cited for contempt for refusing to do so and could go to jail. First, though, to Iraq, where heavy fighting is reported for a sixth consecutive day in Najaf. The battle pits U.S. aircraft, U.S. Marines, and Iraqi government forces against the Mahdi Army, which is loyal to rebel cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. The fighting focuses around one of the holiest sites in Iraq, the Shrine of Ali, which is occupied by Mahdi militiamen. Shiite leaders have repeatedly warned that the building is sacred. An attack on it could provoke a much more broadly based Shia uprising. Scott Baldoff of the Christian Science Monitor was the only Western reporter in Najaf as this battle began last week. He stayed for several days. He's now made his way back to Baghdad, where he joins us now on the line. Very good of you to join us on Talk of the Nation.
My pleasure.
The battle is reported continuing in Najaf and several other cities in southern Iraq. What can you tell us about the latest?
Well, of course, in Najaf, there was a 24-hour truce announced by the U.S. to allow civilians to take their wounded family members out and to get them to hospital. In the meantime, also, they have been warned it's time for them to evacuate because the real end game is coming. The final assault appears to be near. Reports are coming in today that there was helicopter gunship fire on the neighborhood surrounding the Shrine of Ali, which, as you mentioned, is one of the holiest sites in the Shia faith of Islam. And also, bombs were being dropped and artillery shells landing in the vast cemetery complex nearby. This is where the Mahdi Army, we saw them when we came to Najaf. This is where they were holed up, hundreds of them. And they were tired, they were hungry, they seemed to be running out of energy, but they were determined and there was no one fleeing from the scene, no one seeming ready to surrender at that time. One can only imagine that most of them feel as Muqtada al-Sadr said in his press conference yesterday that they would be willing to fight to the last drop of blood.
As you described it in your story in the Christian Science Monitor, you made a comparison to the last days at the Alamo. Describe for us what the scene is like inside that cemetery and in the surrounding area.
Well, the shrine is of course gorgeous. You know, the domes are these gold domes, gold leaf on tile, and the minarets as well, all the way up from the ground to the top, are all in gold leaf. It's an easy place to venerate, and of course for those who are religiously minded, it is an incredibly important place for them. That said, there was a great deal of there were gunmen inside the courtyard of this shrine, and posters to Muqtada al-Sadr inside the office of the shrine. It has become a political place, which one could say is a form of desecration. But the fervor inside was one that this is their place to defend against what they view as occupiers. The men outside the shrine were nervous. They were not very well organized. They didn't really seem to have good communications of where the enemy was. They were just waiting it out, taking little naps when they could, and preparing for what could be their last days. But martyrdom is something that is a very important part of Shia Islam, and it strikes a resonant chord with a lot of Shiites, not just in Iraq, but across the Shiite world.
While you were there, you also spoke with some residents of Najaf who are not necessarily supporters of the Mahdi Army or Muqtada al-Sadr. How do they respond to the fighting that's going on all around them?
Well, they see this as the destruction of their city as perhaps the best chance for them to really rebuild and become a part of a mainstream political process. A lot of the people we talked to were more followers of the Shiite orthodoxy, people like Ayatollah Ali Sistani, who recently left Iraq for a heart treatment in London. He was seen as a voice of moderation. Maybe he was not all that fond of the United States, but he was not calling for a political struggle against them, and they saw that as a good opportunity to be able to use their numbers. You know, Shiites make up 60% of the population of Iraq, according to some estimates. To just use their numbers, they could get power in a new Iraq. But by going about it in military ways, they might actually end up losing, is the fear that we heard from a lot of the residents we talked to. That said, when the site of the Shrine of Ali came up, a lot of people said that would be a discretion if the United States Marines moved into that complex. But that is, after all, what Prime Minister Alawi and his government officials have given permission to the U.S. military to do, if necessary.
Now, the Prime Minister, Ayad Alawi, has also made several attempts to draw Muqtada al-Sadr himself into the political process. As you said yesterday, he had a very defiant news conference. Is any negotiation seemingly possible at this juncture?
It's not only possible, but it seems to be ongoing. At the same time that he's saying never, 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 there seems to be endless forays made by intermediaries. Some of them are Shiites themselves. Some of them are from civil society, attempting to reach out to this man to bring him to the table, to try and offer him something that he seems to want. But the way that Muqtada al-Sadr has been acting, it appears that the negotiation is not really going anywhere. Ultimately, he's not willing to force his men to drop their weapons, which is the prime demand of the Iraqi government.
While you were in Jaffa, you were there with a photographer and an Iraqi translator. You ran into several people, were offered hospitality by many of the people there, something that might surprise Americans given the bitterness of relations that has developed over the past year and more.
Yeah, well, it took us by surprise, too, to be frank. We had been hoping to hole up at a hotel near the center of the city, but, of course, that's where the fighting was taking place. And so when people saw that we were stranded and that we were trying to find out what was going on, something natural inside of them clicked. And this is hospitality is a feature that one finds a lot in cultures that come from the desert. All people who live in the desert know that they may at one point arrive at somebody's door in need of a drink of water or a bite to eat or at least some shelter. And all animosities that might have been felt for Westerners, for journalists, for Americans was set aside just for cultural reasons.
As this drama is playing out in Najaf, there have been some developments in other parts of the country in support of the fighters of Muqtada al-Sadr in Najaf. At one point, an attack on the oil pipeline to the south. I gather that's now been reopened. But is there tension around the country so far as you can tell?
Primarily, it focuses on the south. You mentioned the city of Basra. There are still security problems there, and in some reports seem to say it's getting worse, although the as you mentioned, the oil pipelines themselves seem to be reopened. But in cities across the south, including Amara, Kufa, Karbala, Najaf, of course, we mentioned Nasiriya, these are cities with heavy Shiite populations. Muqtada al-Sadr's slice of that pie is rather small. But they are very well organized. The Shiite militiamen that we have met here in Baghdad, for instance, in the massive slum area called Sadr City, they carry around radios to contact each other. They seem to have some military training, and they're very, very coherent, which makes them a very difficult military enemy to take on.
Scott Baldoff, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you.
Scott Baldoff, a staff writer for the Christian Science Monitor. Last week, he was the only Western reporter in Najaf when the fighting erupted there between U.S. and Iraqi forces and the Mahdi army loyal to Muqtada al-Sadr. He joined us on the line from Baghdad.